Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds. We are now in our second week of our second segment of these shows. And the second segment has been a little different from what you have been used to if you joined us during our first 13 shows. The light family that we have developed and I are exploring that which pulses in our relationships within and that which pulses to our relationships without during these 13 weeks. So last week we spoke about the power of emotion. And we're going to build on that this time, and we're going to see how it relates to our outer world. And so, each other week, we will look at relationships vis-a-vis the outside world, and then in between, we will look at the relationships with ourselves and the divine that is within. So now, today is the day that we discuss sexuality as an aid to spirituality. And we are going to explore sexuality as a tool for raising consciousness in a new light. Discover why traditional practices like Tantra can only benefit the practitioner to a limited degree. And what sexual practices lie beyond that? Is there a higher way? And discover the dynamic principle of polarity in sexuality. Everything that is dynamic, beloved light family, pulses. It pulses between that which is positive or masculine and proactive and that which is feminine or negative or more receptive. For example, our 13-week outline for these shows are planned exactly that way. Last week's show was introspective. It was receptive. Next week will be the same. Today's show is proactive, how to actively relate to others in our environment, and particularly in the case of our sexual partners. How does it fit in with spirituality? How can it be an aid to spirituality? We are going to have a time when we play some music for you during the show, and this is also new in this 13-week segment. And so keep a pencil and paper handy, because there's a little job for you to do for yourself during the few minutes in which we will listen to some music. The music itself was written in a way that pulses between the masculine and the feminine poles of the feminine and the masculine voices on the music. So it too was based upon these principles. But let us take a look at why sexuality is not only a tool that could be used, it is a most desirable tool to use. You see, if we look at emotions, there are 12 perfect emotions that have just recently formed. Before that, we had 8 basic emotions. But just think of them for a second as the sides of a pyramid. The emotions representing the contracted negative poles are at the top, and the proactive masculine poles are at the bottom. And this is building now on what we have discussed last week. The square base of the pyramid represents the corresponding perception. Now, balance doesn't mean that something is static. To be static, you are in stagnation. Balance simply means that poles pulse each other at regular intervals. In other words, balance is something a lot more dynamic. Now, dynamic balance requires that these poles between the different types of emotion, that which is more feminine and receptive and that which is more proactive, that these poles pulse between each other. The positive poles making the negative ones become more negative and vice versa. Now, why are we speaking about emotion on a show about sexuality and spirituality? It is very important, my brothers and sisters, because when you get to the advanced levels of ascended master, you will find, and it's within your reach, you will find that your emotions die completely down. And emotion and sexuality goes hand in hand as the propellant that drives us from the upper levels of the human condition to stages beyond that. So sexuality is not only desirable, it is imperative to raise the kundalini or the energy of the spine in order for the states beyond humanness to be accessed. There is never a point of arrival in our evolution. And so we need to become familiar with the tools. When the sides of the pyramid form the perfect ratio to the base of the pyramid, now remember, the base represents perception, and the sides represent emotion. And as we studied last week, emotion and perception yield each other. So whatever emotion you can achieve, it will give a corresponding perception. When the sides of the pyramid form the perfect ratio to the base, as it's represented by the Giza Plateau's Great Pyramid, there is equipoise, a stillness that when indulged in for long becomes stagnation. We all seek perfection in our life. What is perfection but that moment of equipoise when indulged in for long becomes stagnation? But the stages of evolution from man's identity consciousness all the way to the stage into godhood, stair step between being ones, now this is very important, of either heightened awareness or heightened emotions. They alternate between emotion-yielding perception or perception-yielding emotion. In other words, the sides of the pyramid are either longer than they should be for the perfect ratio, or they're flatter and the base is too big, depending on the stage. If they are longer, perception, which is the base, has to increase to match the emotions. If they are flatter, emotions need to increase for continued growth. It's just a dynamic to show you the ratio between perception and emotion. Now, because the last phase of the last stage of each evolutionary cycle, like the end of humanness or godhood, requires emotion as its impetus to leap across to the next stage, the following needs to be known. How to create emotion during a phase where there is hardly any. The secret to this is the value and use of the sacred fire within, the kundalini. To get the kundalini to awaken emotion, the knowledge of how to utilize sexuality is essential. You know, all over the world in sacred traditions, vague memories that sexuality can facilitate enlightenment have survived among certain groups, like Tibetan monks and others. But then I ask you, beloved listeners, why is it that until August of 2005, only 9 of the thousands and thousands of ascended masters that have ascended and overcome death while in human form, from all walks of life, all nationalities, only 9 of them made it across the chasm that divides our evolutionary line of humanness into the next level, which is godhood? Well, there is a secret that somebody didn't figure out. The answer, again, lies in the fact that for anything to have vitality, it has to pulse between its two extremes, its masculine and feminine poles. And sexuality is no exception. When men and women learn that the safety of the middle range is nothing but stagnation, they will once again allow each other to express the extremes of their masculine and their feminine poles. They can be safe in the knowledge that it is done within the boundaries of perception. For example, a man might not fully express his very dominant side for fear of the woman thinking he's too rough or overpowering. He may be afraid of hurting her. But if the underlying perception is one of love and respect, it will prevent him from harming her in any way. If she knows this, she will not be frightened by his assertiveness. He's going deeply into his masculine pole, deepens her feminine pole. Now, the same thing applies, and I want to just also stress that this applies equally to same-sex partners. There's no difference. The same principle applies when she goes into her masculine pole. It enables a man who feels secure enough about his own masculinity to explore the depths of his feminine side. Likewise, going into the feminine side awakens a more assertive side of the partner. The full range of our sexuality can in this way awaken our emotions. Also, as they pulse, they grow larger and larger until they eventually propel us forward in our evolution. To study the interchange of energy between two opposing emotions, representing the positive and negative poles respectively, let's examine the way passion and joy pulse each other. Joy is the feminine pole and is contracting. Passion is the positive pole and is expansion. The more passion we have in our lives, beloved ones, the deeper the joy, if we take time to experience it. The deeper the joy, the greater the passion. And so instead of becoming so enlightened that we feel hardly any emotion, at the very apex of human development, we allow ourselves to pulse, leaping across the chasm and reaching the ultimate goal of godhood. Join us after this break when we welcome the Master Gene onto the show with us, an Ascended Master who will share some thoughts with you.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We welcome onto our show the Master Gene. She is an immortal master, and she has knowledge of what she speaks. For to become an ascended master, you have to know how to pulse emotions at the very time when emotions are really not even there, when you're in states of deep bliss. But it is that which propels you into higher states of awareness. Let's talk about sexuality versus lust. And thank you for joining us. And could you give us your insights on that?
I'll be happy to, Almaine. And it's so nice to be here with you.
Thank you.
First of all, the distinction must clearly be made between lust and sexuality. Lust asks, what is the most I can get for the least I can give? Lust takes. And sexuality gifts. The true sexuality that exudes from a man or woman in love with life gives freely, for it is life-giving unto itself without agendas.
And so what you're saying is that lust asks the wrong question. And it seems also that lust can be anywhere. It can be in the workplace. It doesn't just have to be sexually driven. It's that which takes without giving.
Yes, that's right. Much of what we think of as responsible sexuality is simply the old paradigm of exclusiveness that was part of the journey of dissension. Sexuality is the celebration of self, the constant awareness of the potency of our being that exudes as the sun does its light or the rose does its fragrance.
So you're saying that sexuality begins with that deep love affair with yourself. What a beautiful statement. I agree. So please continue.
To constantly ask whether the recipient of our exuding sex appeal is worthy of receiving it is to deny our being its full expression and to become attached to outcome. This one may receive either because I plan to engage them sexually or they're considered safe. That one shouldn't receive because I couldn't love them in the same way. In this way, the most sacred part of ourselves becomes a currency. We pay to get what we want, all the while calling it responsible.
And you know, this constant weight of self-reflection lowers our frequency. It hampers our fluidity, which is such a vital, vital quality for any master, and it keeps us in our minds versus our hearts. The light promoter lives responsibly, determining with the utmost discipline the consequences of every action. But, you know, Master Gene, progress really requires that we develop trust in our discernment and our ability to protect our borders, defining ourselves by what we are becoming, namely immortal masters. We can trust that we can secure our boundaries, and we can give freely as the rose does its fragrance.
The other argument for hiding our light under a bushel is that we may hurt others. Living at less than the fullest capacity of our being is always injurious to others. Being at less than our fullest potency because a partner doesn't like the fact that men and women alike are fascinated by the energy we exude keeps him or her locked into exclusiveness and feeds their possessiveness and insecurity.
In other words, if we cater to the limited vision of a partner who chooses us because we are either beautiful or sensual or handsome or whatever it is, and then doesn't want other people to find us that way, if we cater to that, we keep them stuck. They don't grow.
That's right. To shine with the full radiance of our being, celebrating ourselves with every deliberate gesture, evokes admiration in others. To allow that love and admiration to flow is to allow another to grow. Love inspires and enlivens. All great art has been inspired by love, whether love for another or love for life. To deny another the privilege of loving us because their self-consciousness or unworthiness or insecurity interferes is to deny them the evolution of their awareness.
And you know, you've said two things there that I really want to comment on. You said that, you know, we celebrate ourselves by being deliberate. I love that word. Every deliberate gesture evokes admiration in others. I think that it was Noel Coward, I might be mistaken, but I think that it was he that said that the 30s or the 40s, one of those decades, was the last age of elegance. I mean, if you take a look at the old-time movies, and this is truly how they lived. When they went out, they put their hats on. Women put their makeup on, or they did their hair nicely, because they were leaving their front door. The way they ate their food, the way they lit their cigarettes, the way they sat, the way they walked. These were deliberate gestures. Not as much of those ages we really don't care to repeat. But this celebrating of the moment with deliberate gestures is something very beautiful that I really like. And, you know, the other things, too, is that if we deny another the right to find us attractive or alluring or sensual or to feel love for us, it stifles, really, the flow of life. They could raise their consciousness by that love that opens their heart, and then we would be the ones to prevent it. People have to learn to love without pain. It is one of the biggest challenges that we are facing at this time of great light pouring in on the planet. And, you know, we actually become what we admire. I'm just thinking of that right now. We grow from the assets we discover in another, and our consciousness rises when we love. Victor Hugo, he was a wonderful philosopher amongst other things, said, "There is in this life no greater gift than that of being charming, to cast light upon dark days. Is not that to render service?"
The lust of males has been generally expressed as taking from women without giving the emotional components of love and appreciation that follow the sexual act. The lust of females has been traditionally equally tainted by the desire to get what they want. Men have given love for sex, and women have given sex to get love, also to get security, to get ahead, or with other agendas.
And that agenda is like an undertow in the river that prevents it from flowing smoothly.
It surely is. True sexuality, in its purest essence, gives to everyone alike, trusting itself to act only with the utmost impeccability. If we believe that our pure intentions will garner pure results, even those drawn to us who break their own hearts on their unmet expectations will ultimately benefit.
Oh, I love that statement. So in other words, we simply radiate out. People choose to love, we receive. If they have their own agendas, it is not our problem. And in fact, it isn't a problem. It is a learning opportunity. The great beauty of the 18th century, her name was, I believe, Ninon de L'Enclos, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She used to say, "I enjoy, I enjoy, I enjoy." She was absolutely adored by kings and often loved by three generations of men in the same family at once. She allowed her passionate, passionate love affair with life to enrich everything she encountered, and men and women alike were drawn to her charm. She accepted the adoration of others unashamedly, knowing that she was receiving nothing more than what she bestowed on all life. She had tapped into the creative power from which cosmos is formed, the essences of all life, which is sexuality. And I need to just point this out very quickly. It isn't a selfish thing to receive and receive and receive from multiple people who love or adore or admire or have sexual attraction to us. It is like the rose. The rose doesn't say to one person, "You may look at the beauty and you may smell the fragrance that is in the air," and to another, "You may not." Because the rose gives to all alike. And I think what we're really saying, if I listen to your words as well, Master Jean, is the fact that this is not a one-way street. It is a two-way street. Because people that are that attractive, like Ninon de L'Enclos, who through the ages her name is known, are people that love life. And in their loving of life, they are fully aware of the beauty in others as well. Do you agree with me?
Well, I surely do. There's nothing enlightening about stifling sexuality and emphasizing only the upper chakras. Although it originates at the root chakra, the expression of sexuality results in a rising flow of kundalini that clears blockages in all seven chakras. It is a source of youth, the stimulant of pure emotions, and the origin of vitality and consciousness.
And to explain to our listeners, we're saying that the use of the kundalini, and we have seen now that it has to pulse between deepening assertiveness and deepening receptivity. And both partners should go into these extremes, allowing each other to pulse in those extremes. That it isn't safe to be in the middle, nor is it passionate, nor is it exciting. But the big thing that it is not growth-promoting to spirituality. Because there is a deep flow from the root chakra and strongly upwards through the center, which is the pranic tube. Now, if you take your thumb and your middle finger and you touch them together, you will find that that is the size of your pranic tube. And it goes from the top of the head straight through the body like a channel of energy, and it ends in the perineum, which is at the base of the spine. This pranic tube, as you pulse sexuality, beloved ones, this is the time that it opens the chakras. Chakras generally have debris from unresolved things that have occurred in your life. And it is like a plug in the middle. And so when it is in the middle like that, it prevents the flow of the kundalini, and so it brings about age and the leaking of energy and creates wrinkles and so forth. The aging process is resistance to life and the resistance to the flow of the kundalini. Now, this is a show in which each time there will be an interaction from you. I'm now going to ask you, while we play you some music, if you will please take a moment and write on a piece of paper all the areas in your life where either you or the person involved in the relationship is asking the wrong question. What is the most I can get? Instead of, what is the most I can give?
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Thank you for joining us again on Walking Between the Worlds, the place where we study internal relationships with ourselves and the divine. And also, in every other week, we study relationships in our environment with those we love. This week we are discussing sexuality as an aid to spirituality. Now, we have discussed before, we have the Master Gene with us, who is an immortal master, on our show today, that sexual desire is often suppressed because it may be unrequited and therefore too painful, but that not allowing these desires to flow freely can also cause pain. And what is pain really but just a signal that change is needed? What needs to change in this instance is the improper suppression of desire that causes a massive energy loss. Energy loss, in turn, causes a loss of consciousness. Would you comment for us? I made a statement earlier, Master Gene, about the fact that it's one of the challenges of mankind to learn to love without pain. Can you comment on this, please?
It certainly is. One of the major challenges is to learn to love without pain or desire without pain. It's actually the biggest challenge to all of humankind on this journey of cosmic ascension. The key is to trust that our desires won't turn into obsessions and that we can desire someone without an agenda.
You know, we've spoken several times and the word trust, trust yourself, has always come up. If we but look through our life at all the, quote, mistakes that we have made here or there, they truly aren't the mistakes we thought they are. So, please continue.
That's true. Sexual desire is used to ascend cosmoses. It's a joyous and potent force under the correct conditions. Suppressing it bends the energy lines around our bodies inward, causing energy to leak out. When expressed without reserve, it radiates energy in all directions, causing us to become radiant and attractive.
And when somebody sees something in somebody that they say is an inner beauty, what that is the radiation of light that travels along straight lines, radiating out from the body. The opposite to that is where we see somebody as guarded, or you say somebody has walls around themselves. That is the suppression of sexual desire, the suppression of love, that bends these lines inward as a protective mechanism. But the unfortunate thing is, it also creates a loss of consciousness. Talk to us a little bit about obsession.
Well, obsession sets in only when the sexual relationship between the two poles of the inner sexuality do not pulse each other. In other words, we only focus obsessively on another when we're not in a dynamic sexual relationship with ourselves. When this is in expression, we maintain our emotional sovereignty and find our sexual appeal to others, as well as our ability to give, much heightened.
You know, poet, this is a program that I want to, during these 13 weeks, bring in just little bits of wise words from our beautiful poets, a little bit of music. Our listeners, during the music that was played, which is from the CD, An Affair of the Heart, by myself and my fellow musician Paul, made a list of areas in which this obsession is, where they ask, what can I take versus what is the most I can give, and to identify it in others. So please continue.
For multiple generations, men and women have been overpolarized. Men have been very far into their masculine pole, and women overpolarized into their feminine. As a backlash to this overpolarization, the last two generations have retreated more and more to the middle range. Women have felt less vulnerable and less dominated. Men have felt less pressure to prove themselves as breadwinners or as being tough. But unless a man and a woman lives both the masculine and feminine sides or poles, stagnation ensues and the dynamic inner relationship dwindles.
And a result that flows from this wonderful, enriching sexual relationship with self is our passionate love affair with life. Every sunset, every bite of a crisp, juicy apple, every walk with bare feet on dew-drenched grass becomes a sexual interaction with our world. Our senses heighten, our appreciation deepens, and we start to live in that place of power, the eternal now.
Living in our heart only happens when we're living in the moment. Obsession is born from living in our heads, not our hearts. Obsession is concerned with the next moment and has an agenda, whereas sexuality is in love with the moment and appreciates what it is before it. The former is concerned with what it can take from life and so depletes not only one obsessed, but his environment as well.
In other words, if we take more than we need from life, we're draining not only our environment and those in it, but ourselves as well. And often, beloved ones, when we are with somebody and we feel so drained afterwards, it is for the very reason that the question that you explored during the music as you did your own inner work, it's the reason if there is an agenda. And it might be under the surface, because in many instances these agendas are very, very simply hidden. The one who simply allows sexual desire to flow, unencumbered by expectations, raises not only his own consciousness, but also that at whom it is directed. In this way, spiritually and sexuality, they go hands in hand. Please join us after the break and we'll explore this further.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You know, my beloved ones, there's really only one criteria for weighing our actions. Do they serve indwelling life or don't they? If they serve the world of form only, they serve that which is unreal. On the other hand, if actions serve to evolve awareness, then they are aligned with the purposes of indwelling life. The degree to which sexual acts are enhancing to the indwelling life of participants depends on the consciousness that initiates them. To be conscious is to see the big picture. Conscious beings consider carefully the effects of any act on others. They know that any choice they make must benefit all equally in the evolution of awareness. Many sexual, spiritual practices are designed to enhance energy, which in turn, of course, increases consciousness, but not always equally to both participants. Using another to primarily enhance one's own energy can provide short-term energy boosts, but it will ultimately deplete not only oneself, but also one's environment. A practice that focuses on self-gain is self-centered, and anything that's self-centered despirals the DNA strand and warps the web of existence, creating karmic repercussions. There is a limited amount of power and energy available from the form side of life, but it is limitless from the divine that breathes life into form. The only way to gain energy and power without damaging the web of existence is through enhanced perception. The secret to unlocking the gift of perception that sexuality can yield lies in that place of connection with the infinite, the present moment. It is in the stillness of the moment that we experience the ultimate love affair between creator and creation. It can be demonstrated in the following way. If we pass blindly by a flowering bush along the wayside and fail to see that it is ablaze with the glory of the infinite, nature withers. Nature thrives on appreciation. If in a quiet moment of contemplation we truly acknowledge the beauty of a flower, it allows that plant to evolve more rapidly into a more complex form of expression. Sex is no different. Truly being present and appreciatively entering into the wondrous miracles of our partners contributes to their evolution of awareness. Thoughts about techniques pull us out of the moment into the world of form and away from indwelling life. The Master Gene on the previous segment explained that it is youthening, that the kundalini flow that results from it can bring youth. This only happens when we are living in the moment. As we focus on truly experiencing another, the energy lines around our bodies open like the radiating petals of a flower. When this happens, blockages are released, and power and energy flow freely through us, allowing us to receive a greater supply of life force. Once we shift our focus, however, to personal performance or agendas, the energy lines fold inwards, draining that energy from our partners. The energy we drain from another may temporarily increase our own, but as in the case of all self-centeredness, it will eventually lead to decay and death. Our insensitivity to the miracle of another disrupts the web of life because it is damaging to them as well as ourselves. It is damaging to them because what is unacknowledged decreases and what is appreciated increases. It is damaging to us because our true identity is a being as vast as the cosmos with all existing within us. What is destructive to another is therefore also destructive to ourselves. To truly experience another is a matter of the heart. The mind and senses can only appreciate the form, but the heart can know the divine essence within. In this way, another being, whether a partner or a flower, becomes a doorway that leads from the world of mirrors, which is form, into that which is real, which is indwelling life. The doorway of the human being reveals a far more complex expression of life than the flower. Creation can be described as a mirror that allows the infinite to see itself. A human being holds up a larger piece of mirror, revealing more of the infinite's face than the mirror fragment of the flower. A human being, unlike the flower, has the ability to make mistakes. In this way, he also mirrors to the infinite that which it isn't, that it may more fully understand that which it is. Each human being is a unique perspective superimposed over all that is. The gift of perception sexual union offers is that we may enrich ourselves by experiencing another's eternal perspective. When a partner has a lower level of awareness, it becomes more challenging to pierce the illusions. If we approach them superficially, beloved ones, we become entangled in their web of illusions. Through opened hearts, on the other hand, we can see the true perfection of their essence, which is why sex and love should go hand in hand. By focusing on the perfection underlying the appearances, we see with the eyes of the infinite. Before such a gaze, illusion dissipates like mist before the morning sun. We are delighted that you have joined us for our second show, and we ask you to return again with us next week when we examine the power of forgiveness, the place where you will learn that to see perfection is to have the place where there is nothing left to forgive, a whole unique experience. Please join us then, and thank you for listening to Walking Between the Worlds.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.